From the authentic soul of Bernie Siegel, MD, comes Mind Health Matters, a show that reflects Bernie's passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges, not just the physical ones, so that each person can live life fully with the understanding that, as Bernie reminds us, we only have today. Believing that we are all here to love one another, each in our own unique way, Bernie has crafted eternal truths and the timeless wisdom of the ages. Join Bernie as he shares his powerful journey through life while offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom.
Well, everybody,
Welcome to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel, who you can hear his show Wednesday through Friday at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. We're a syndicated Boston-based internet radio station, media partner for the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. And Bernie has an excellent guest. She is Dr. Lissa Rankin, New York Times best-selling author of The Daily Flame, Mind Over Medicine, The Fear Cure, and The Anatomy of a Calling. She is a speaker, founder of the Whole Health Medicine Institute, creator of The Daily Flame, and Mystic. And that is, she is a physician, a medical doctor. So, and Bernie's had Dr. Lissa on before. Bernie and Dr. Lissa will be talking about the latest book, The Daily Flame, 365 Love Letters from Your Inner Pilot Light by Sounds Truth. So, Bernie, here's Bernie.
Well, you know what popped into my head, and then we'll talk about the books. Lissa, how did you get to be an abnormal doctor?
Well, that was what my whole book, The Anatomy of a Calling, was about, is that crazy, mystical journey from kind of trauma to, you know, really having a completely different orientation towards life and medicine. But in short, like so many doctors, I was a conventional OBGYN, you know, trained at Duke and Northwestern and places like that. And I didn't have language for it at the time, but I now realize that I was suffering from what some of the Harvard doctors are calling moral injury. They're saying, you know, doctors aren't burned out. We are morally injured the way return war veterans are morally injured from having followed orders and done what they were expected to do, but knowing that what they were doing was hurting people, that they were hurting innocent civilians, for example, in the process of following orders. And I, too, was kind of following orders. And, you know, when I started my medical practice, I was expected to see 25 patients a day. And by the time I left 8 years later, I was expected to see 40 patients a day, which meant that I had about 7.5 minutes with my patients. And as you know, Bernie, if you're a healer, you can't do healing work in 7.5 minutes. I mean, you can barely refill somebody's prescription and do their pap smear in 7.5 minutes, much less actually attend to the mind, body, soul, spirit connection that is necessary for healing work. So it was extremely painful for me to know, to sense what patients needed and to feel helpless to actually meet that need. And so increasingly I was, you know, going home every day feeling that burden of that moral injury, and it led to a kind of suicidal depression by the time I was 24 weeks pregnant with my daughter. And that led to a crisis, you know, sort of the breakdown to breakthrough that led to me quitting my job in 2007. And this was, all kinds of things were falling apart at the same time. My beloved father, who was also a physician, died at 59. 2 weeks after my daughter was born, my brother, who was a healthy 33-year-old, wound up in full-blown liver failure as a side effect from the antibiotic Zithromax that he was taking for a sinus infection. And my dog died, and my daughter's father, who was going to be the primary caregiver for my baby because I had to go back to work at 4 weeks, cut 2 fingers off his hand with a table saw. It was like all hell broke loose all at once. And I didn't know what I would do when I quit. I couldn't afford to quit. My husband wasn't working. I was responsible for all of the financial obligations of the family, and I still had medical school debt. But I wound up becoming $200,000 in debt and taking 2 years to recover from my depression and my moral injury and my grief over losing my dad. And I wound up taking a job in Mill Valley, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area at an integrative medicine practice where they kind of seduced me with the promise that I could have an hour with my patients. And that sounded amazing. I thought, well, if I have an hour, I can do healing work. But these were some of the most unusual patients I had ever dealt with in my entire life. Anybody who knows Marin County knows that it's kind of a joke. Like, what health nuts people in Marin County are. I mean, I'm not kidding.
No, I know.
And I had worked with people in the inner city of Chicago. I had worked with Somali refugees on the Mexican border. I had worked with suburban San Diegans, but I was not prepared to face what I faced in Marin County, which was by the time people showed up at my office, they had seen the best conventional doctors at UCSF and Stanford, excellent medical care. They were eating their raw vegan diet and working out with their personal trainer and taking 100 supplements, and they had seen their acupuncturist and their naturopath, and they were going to yoga and meditating every morning, and they were the sickest people I've ever seen in my life. And I honestly didn't know what to make of this. I felt extremely helpless because, you know, I mean, every now and then I could find something that someone had maybe missed in a workup and kind of pull out a little functional medicine trick, you know, and catch something subclinical that I could treat, and they'd suddenly have an amazing response.
Right.
But for the most part, I would look at their records and I'd think, gosh, this person has had the best medical care ever and they're doing everything right. Why are they so sick?
Well, it's the same reason. Let me interrupt. You wrote your book.
Yeah.
Why they're not doing well is because they're not being treated. Jung said it, I keep repeating this, many, many years ago. The diagnosis may help the doctor, but it doesn't help the patient. The key thing is the story, for it alone shows human background and human suffering, and only at that point can the doctor's therapy begin to operate. And that's the struggle you're having. Everybody was treating their diagnosis, and then you come along and hopefully begin to treat their story. And really, I think, in a sense, why you wrote your book, you know, it's to help people deal with their story, their life.
What ended up happening is that I did listen to their stories. I didn't really have much else to offer. And so I just kind of started asking penetrating questions, things like, what does your body need in order to heal? Or what is your body saying no to? Or what would it take for you to live a life that your body would love? And people would invariably break into tears because they knew. They knew right away the answers to those questions, and I would mostly just sit and listen. And people started having quite remarkable recoveries and, what physicians might call spontaneous remissions.
I got to keep interrupting to make the point, because I learned from Helen Keller, too, just part of her quote. I've heard of the stars, the rainbows, the play of light on the waves. These I would like to see. But far more than sight, I wish for my ears to be open. The voice of a friend, the imaginations of Mozart. Deafness is darker by far than blindness. You began to listen to people. Then they hear themselves. I had one patient talk to me for 2 hours. And I never said a word. And at the end of it, I busted out laughing because she said, that's the greatest conversation I've ever had with anyone. She was talking to herself, and I got credit for what came forth. Yeah. And you know, again, we're not trained to do that. I have to tell you, it'll make you smile. But this woman came into my office, and I could tell she was punishing herself. Every few months, she was having some kind of operation. And I realized she would keep complaining until the doctors would say, all right, I'll do it, because they didn't have any real evidence that something was wrong. And she came into my office. I looked at her record. I said, look, you're punishing yourself. I'm not going to operate on you. But if you want to come in and talk to me, maybe we can straighten your life out. A few months later, I get a letter from her insurance company. We do not pay surgeons for talking. So
that's
and I said, take a look at her chart and her record and how much money she's cost you. and you'll see that I'm saving you a lot of money by talking, because she was punishing herself. And then a letter came back, and I got a kick out of their sense of humor. Okay, keep talking.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, sometimes when there's just a loving presence that can hold space for somebody's story, we start to hear the voice of what I call your inner pilot light, which is what this book, The Daily Flame, is based on. And for me, that, you asked, like, how did I end up here? And part of it was that when I was in the middle of my kind of suicidal ideas when I was 24 weeks pregnant, I found myself on the floor of the bathroom, as so many people in crisis seem to do, and I heard this voice that said, sweetheart, you're going to have to quit your job. And I had never heard a voice before, and I didn't know what to make of it, and it scared me. And at the same time, I felt this profound sense of relief, because as soon as the voice said, sweetheart, you're going to have to quit your job, my first feeling was relief, because I was like, oh, my God, that's true. And then, of course, my second feeling was panic, because I can't do that. But the feeling of the truth felt like just I could take a breath.
Yeah.
And in that breath, the second thing that voice said is, you don't have to do anything right now. You just have to make peace with what's true. Mm. And it took me another 2 years to actually leave my job, to actually act on that guidance.
Right. But you're on the path, yeah.
Yeah, so but that voice, and it's not always a voice. Sometimes it's a vision. Sometimes it's a dream. Sometimes it's a synchronicity. But that guidance started coming more regularly, and I kind of joke that back then I had some sort of blind trust, and now I have evidence-based trust. Because what I've found is that if I actually can manage my own fear and have the courage to act on that guidance, that unexplainable, beautiful, mysterious things happen, and I wind up talking to Bernie Siegel on a radio show 10 years later.
You said mysterious, but at least you accepted it, that it happened.
I did.
That's the key.
Yeah, I realized that's part of what makes me a bit different sometimes.
Right. I've been hearing voices for God knows how long. And you know, see, it's interesting. I said, for God knows. Yeah, because my wife used to say, honey, it comes from God knows where. And I thought, wow, you know, what a wonderful way of saying it. But just a brief example was the day my father was dying, the voice said, how did your parents meet? I said, I don't know. Ask your mother when you get to the hospital. So I did. And to make a long story short, my father took my mother out because he lost a coin toss and had to take her out. And, you know, he died laughing, looking wonderful because of that crazy thing, you know, because my mother kept telling stories and it was just wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, nobody was sad or worried or frightened about death. Because there were little grandchildren in the room, you know. And here's this man dying with a big grin on his face, looking wonderful.
Mm, what a beautiful story.
You know, if we can get our minds quiet, that voice can speak to all of us. And let me add one more thing so you can diagnose me as insane, and then we'll go on. But one is, as an aside, the suicide rate in physicians is higher than the general population. And we're not trained to care for people. One doctor wrote an article called Not On My Shift. They were keeping a man from being dead. And he finally realized, but he's not alive. You know, we're just keeping his heart beating. And so he let him die on his shift. But he woke up to the pain. And I think that's the problem. We're not trained to deal with death, to deal with the suffering. I mean, I talk to God a lot saying, why did you make a world like this? But I got answers that a perfect world is not creation. You're here to live and learn. So, you know, it helped me work things out. And one more thing that directed me, and probably did you again, as you were with people, I went to a meeting run by Dr. Carl Simonton years ago, who wrote the book Getting Well Again. 150 people were in the audience, and I was the only doctor. It blew my mind. Here's a doctor talking about how to help cancer patients, and I'm the only physician in the room. But Thank God, next to me were all my patients. And this quote, "You're a nice guy. I feel better when I'm in the office with you, but I can't take you home with me, so I need to know how to live between office visits."
Mm.
That, when I came home, not home, I mean, but back to the office, because it was a weekend workshop, one of my partners, who was very intuitive, I walked in on Monday. He said, "You're gone." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You're not the same person you were on Friday." That's what I don't know what he was reading or seeing, but he was right. I changed my whole career and course. And you were mentioning California. I've been in every state in the union with my wife when we went out speaking. It was like a fun thing. If you got invited to Texas, all right, we'll go there, you know. And we got to every single state. And that's when I realized also how different people are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I mentioned Texas. Our car broke down in the middle of nowhere in Texas. And a car pulls up. You know, what happened? Oh, a car broke down. Okay, my brother-in-law is a mechanic. He'll fix it. You'll have dinner at my house. In New York, our car broke down, and the cops said, "We'll send somebody." They didn't even stop to see if the kids are all right, and we were all right. You know, we'll send somebody. And that's why I learned also as a physician, I had to know the people, you know, and their lifestyle, because you needed to hit New Yorkers in the head with a hammer to get them to feel something. And in upstate Maine or in the middle of Montana, they're crying, you know, while New Yorkers aren't even showing any emotions. So, And again, I get back to your book, that love letters from your inner pilot light. We all need this to keep us sensitized and in touch with ourselves as well as others.
Well, I think, you know, what a lot of people don't understand is that the dial of emotions, for example, it goes, positive and negative emotions go up and down together. Like the dial either goes up and you can feel ecstasy and bliss, love and joy,
right. But
also, you know, agony, heartbreak, despair, helplessness, loneliness. And then if you want to get rid of those painful feelings, then you also dial down the capacity to feel all of these beautiful emotions
right.
as well. So I sometimes, you know, miss the times when I was more numb because I didn't feel as much pain, but I also didn't feel as much just sweetness, like the feeling of just savoring life, which I think that connection to that divine spark within, whatever you want to call it, from whatever tradition people come from. Every tradition has a name for it. But the more we have access to that, the more we can actually, like, we develop more resilience. So we can cope with a wider range. And I realized that, like, you know, it's helped give me a higher pain tolerance. And now I'm working on my pleasure tolerance, because that's actually my edge now.
You know, the other is passing it on to our children, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to future generations, so that they don't have to do all the suffering.
Yeah.
I called it mottos to live by, because my parents always drove me crazy. Not solving my problems. Oh, I got a terrible problem. God is redirecting you. Something good will come of this. That's how you're going to help me. You know, Ma, I don't know what to do. I got a lot of decisions here. Do what makes you happy. Ma, I need help. It just went on and on. I used to think they were terrible parents until I realized the wisdom and truth in what they had learned growing up with all kinds of troubles, you know, and helping others and so forth. And they didn't even want me to become a doctor, you know. I mean, it was crazy, but I just felt it was the right thing to do. There was something in me. And, well, that's a whole other issues, like past lives and different things. But, you know, what makes you want to choose something and even what specialty, et cetera, et cetera. But in your...
Yeah,
in case
I'm really interested in that topic.
Yeah. In case you're wondering, I love you that much. You know, that's a sentence in 133. And, you know, that's what kids need to hear. I love you that much.
Yeah.
And if they feel that, then all the other things fall into place. And, you know, if we read what others have written and then start writing our own, it's amazing. How many years ago did you write this?
Well, this book, so I started writing The Daily Flame on my 40th birthday, and I just turned 50 2 weeks ago.
All
so
right.
10 years I've been writing these as a free email at innerpilotlight.com. And it really started, Bernie, because I had made contact with that voice on the floor of the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I started as a daily practice, waking up in the morning. And I've been a writer my whole life, so writing is kind of an easy meditation for me. I don't have to think about it.
Right.
I can kind of just put my fingers on the keyboard and something comes through.
Yeah.
And so I would wake up in the morning and I would ask my inner pilot light if there was anything that it wanted me to know. Because it turned out that the edict of, sweetheart, you're going to have to quit your job, was quite practical. And I thought, well, if this voice knows other things that I should know, I should try to make a priority of making time to listen. So it started out as just my own daily practice, just a kind of automatic writing exercise. And I showed a few of them to my friends, and my friends were like, oh my gosh, how does your inner pilot light know exactly what I needed to hear today? And I thought, oh, that seemed really shocking to me. And then I realized, well, of course that would make sense, because this part of us is connected to this part of us in everyone.
Yep.
And so what tended to come through started to sound a bit like, if there's such a thing as universal truth, it started sounding a bit like, this is true for most people. And so just as an experiment, I didn't even tell anybody until this book came out. I don't think most of the people on my email list even know that I'm the one who writes The Daily Flame, because it doesn't say my name anywhere on it. So that wasn't why I was doing it. It was just part of my practice. And, you know, we had like 40,000 people on the email list getting The Daily Flame every year. And so this came about because my mother was diagnosed with CMML, a kind of terminal leukemia, 2 years ago now. And she decided that she wasn't going to do, you know, the only treatment, which they told her would not be curative, which was bone marrow transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of signing her up for hospice and starting to check off the things on her bucket list, which included a safari in Africa and a pilgrimage to a sacred site in Italy that she wanted to go to. And so I decided I was going to take a year off of work and commit to this process with my mother. And what that meant in practicality was spending a lot of time in the bed next to my mom, because her hemoglobin was 6 for 9 months before she died, in spite of multiple times every week getting transfused. So she was very weak. And so what I was doing is, while she was sleeping and I was, you know, lying on a bed next to her in Africa, I just started writing Daily Flames. I thought, well, I'll write these because it's comfort for myself to communicate with this part of me. And then I thought, well, I'll just compile it. I'll write 365 new Daily Flames, and I'll give it away as a kind of Valentine's Day present to the Daily Flame readers. And then I was recording an audio program with Tammy Simon, It Sounds True. She wanted to do, one of their audio programs, and so we were doing it about the inner pilot light. And I just made a sort of casual comment that I had written 365 new ones, and she asked if she could see them, and next thing I know, I kind of call it my accidental book deal, because next thing I know, she was offering to publish it as a book, which I wasn't really envisioning. So so here it is. I kind of was like, but it was written from that.
You call
it's beautiful. We need to take our first break,
right,
everyone. So don't go away. Stay with us. We'll be back more with Mind Health Matters and Dr. Bernie Siegel.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every week, Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m. and 12 a.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Learn to connect with the other side and receive inspiring messages of peace, healing, and hope. Join psychic medium Bill Phillips at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, for Signs from Spirit, Connecting with the Other Side. In this weekend retreat, May 31st to June 2nd, you'll learn to recognize signs from spirit and discover how to remain connected to the ones you love. Mention discount code DREAM for 20% off when you register for Signs from Spirit with Bill Phillips. Learn more at eomega.org. Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and Faith, Hope, and Healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Mind Health Matters and Dr. Bernie Siegel. As mentioned, you can hear his show Wednesday through Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network just by going Dream Visions, all one word, with an S on the end, the number 7radio.com. You can get in touch with Bernie by going on his site. It's Bernie Siegel, SIEGELMD.com. BernieSiegelMD.com. And if you'd like a copy of Dr. Liss's book, The Daily Flame, 365 Love Letters from Your Inner Pilot Light, you can obtain it just about everywhere. And you can go on her site, which is LissaRankin.com. Lissa is L-I-S-S-A. RANKIN, LissaRankin.com. Back to you, Bernie.
Hi, thank you. I have to tell you a little story as an aside. In college, the only C I got was in creative writing. And it kept me from graduating summa cum laude, that one C. So after my first book, Love, Medicine, Miracles, was on the New York Times bestseller list, I wrote to the college. It's my sense of humor. I said, now you could raise my grade to a B, and I'd have high honors. And I got this serious multiple-page letter back.
Oh, my goodness.
About, you know, you cannot alter grades after you graduated. And I thought, it's so sad they didn't have a sense of humor. But the other was from William Saroyan. I love that guy, as a writer. And in it, because this is really what happened with you, there is a writer and a young man working with him. And the writer says to the young fella, hey, you're a good writer too. And he says, I've never written anything. What are you talking about? He said, the letter on your desk to your father. He said, that's just a letter to my father. He said, okay, then write a letter to everyone.
Oh.
And boy, that hit home for me because I realized in college, you know, science major, I was thinking. Everything I wrote came out of my head. And nobody enjoyed it. But when I started writing letters to everyone, yeah, then it became meaningful. And it's just what you're saying, you know, the love letters. And I learned also because one night I forgot to hide my journal. See, I was writing something every night to get the pain out of my body. And I didn't want anybody to find it because it was a disaster. Anybody who read it would get depressed. So I hid it in my desk. And then one night, I guess I was so tired, I forgot to hide it. And my wife said, I saw your journal. There's nothing funny in it. I said, my life isn't funny. What are you talking about? And then she started telling me jokes that I told her and the kids at dinner. You know, crazy things that happen in the hospital, like walking into the wrong patient's room and there's a naked woman sitting there and I pull the curtain back. You know, it's like, who's he? And she's shrieking. You know, crazy things like that happen. And they never got in my journal. So it was really my wife who woke me up, in a sense, to save my life. And remember the funny things. Put them in there, too. And I began to do that and realized how much it helped everybody, including the patients, to you know, to keep like your inner child and your sense of humor with you, whether it's in the operating room or anywhere else. And that's it, very honestly, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. You know, it's like talking to yourself in a sense, because we've both been through the same labor pains.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I don't know, what do you
I actually like your first question there. If your deepest, most divine self had a message for you, what would it be? Mm. I love that.
Yeah, well, you know, I started, once I realized other people wanted to read these letters, I started just casting out, almost like I was, like I said, casting out, almost like you're casting out a fishing line to the collective consciousness. What does the world need to hear today?
Right.
And it was quite a beautiful practice for me. Because I wake up in the morning and I feel the world. And what that means is sometimes I feel the world's pain, but I also feel a great intimacy with people I've never met, people who read these love letters, and it's the sweetest thing, Bernie, because people respond, you know, they just hit reply to the email, and they write, "Dear Inner Pilot Light," and they write back, and it's so sweet. It touches my heart so deeply. So it's, it's really a beautiful practice, and anybody can do this. So we just, as part of the book launch for this book, we had a contest, and we asked the Daily Flame readers. We said, well, we have, you know, 10 books we'll give away to people who write their own Daily Flame, and we got hundreds of submissions, and I can't tell you, I just cried reading these beautiful things because I realized they got it. And we wound up, the past 2 months, we've only been publishing the Daily Flame love letters that our readers wrote, and they're exquisite. I can't even, I mean, I kind of feel like I should quit. They're so beautiful. I can't even, I mean, it just, it absolutely, moved me to tears to realize that the transmission of what this voice can sound like and what it doesn't sound like really got through, and it was so moving. And a few of them we were like, oh, we cannot publish this, because I'll tell you what the voice doesn't sound like. It never bullies you. Mm. You know, that's the big thing. There's no shaming. There's no, you should do this. Like, it's never like that. It's always an invitation. And there's always a radical kind of unconditional love for, for even the parts that are hard for people to love, like even your rage part or your addict part or your suicide part or, you know, the part that gets you in trouble. This is the essence of your being that loves even those parts, because they know they're just trying to protect you.
You know, the thing I learned was, don't kill yourself, eliminate what's killing you. And the biblical line, he who seeks to save his life will lose it. So many of us give up our lives to please everybody else.
Mm.
You know, so your parents don't throw you out of the house, they pay for your education, whatever it is, and you end up becoming who they want. And then something comes along in your life, and which can often include a life-threatening illness, and then you say, well, I'm going to become the person I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like lighting that flame. I mean, I remember one lawyer who wanted to be a violinist, and his parents would not let him do that. He had to go to law school. And then he developed cancer. And he said, I shut my office, and I'm playing a violin, and I got a job in an orchestra. And, of course, he didn't die of cancer, you know, because he's living his life now. And his body gets that message. And I think, again, what's in your book, my book, love your life, love your body. Let me just mention this, who sat naked in front of a mirror. This was a young woman who had polio as a child, so she hated her body. And then she developed a neurological problem, was becoming paralyzed. And she said, I don't want to die hating my body. So I sat naked in front of the mirror, loving my body inch by inch. And she said, literally, she would start at her toes and go through the rest of her body. And, of course, what was the result again? She didn't die of the neurological, you know, deterioration and disease. And that self-love, it makes such a difference. You know,
well, people talk about self-love, but they also often don't teach you how. And this is kind of the how. It's like this is the spark inside of you that can love all of you.
Yeah, you become their coach.
That's right.
That's
Can I read a little poem here, Bernie? This is something that someone wrote as part of the contest. I'm a terrible marketer. I should probably read from my own book. But I was so I was so touched by this poem.
As long as it's in English, go ahead.
It's in English. The woman who wrote it's name is Selena Kumbu, so she's one of the readers. Here, take my hand, child. Don't be afraid. Don't gaze up at me suspicious. Don't you recognize my face? Think, child. See me. Don't you know my name? I was there when you were born, child. You and I are the same. I saw you when you were lonely, cried when I found you in pain, got you up in the morning, made you catch your train, watched you clean up the mess again and again, rubbed your brow when you were sleeping, felt you going insane from listening over and over to the same tired refrain. Not to worry, I am here now. No, child, don't you fret. Your cheeks will dry in time, child. Your path is not yet set. I've always been beside you, even when all seemed lost. Saw you holding an abacus when you were counting all the costs. Come home to me, baby. I've always been here. It's time for a new chapter. It's time to shift up a gear. Let's face the future together, love. Let's go to the moon and back. Let's compose a new beginning. Let's mix a brand new track. I'll step up to do the vocals. You can hop onto the decks. It's time to surrender to the music and let life take care of the rest. Look to me when you are lonely. Call on me when you are stressed. For I am your inner pilot light, and I glow deep within your chest.
Beautiful.
What can you say?
Profound.
Beautiful. Mm. I will make one comment. Don't worry about rhyming. Because when I would write poems, and all the feelings would pour out, some people would say to me, it doesn't rhyme.
It's
not a poem. And I'd look at them like, that isn't the issue. It's bringing forth what's within you. So just to all those people out there who were like me, don't worry about what others think of your writing or your poems. Write them and let the feelings come flowing. And it will make an enormous difference in your life. Yeah, you see, we're all quiet now because of I mean it. You can't help but be affected by something. As beautiful as that. And for a child to, I'm remembering one of my poems now. You know, I was writing a poem a day to get my feelings out. And one of the poems is, I didn't write a poem today, I met one. I met this child. And it really entered my mind. This is poetry, you know. This beautiful little child is a poem. And, you know, we start seeing each other that way and seeing the world in a different light. It just changes everything for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And don't worry.
Well, we need to take our next break.
Okay.
So everyone, stay with Dr. Bernie Siegel and his guest, Dr. Lisa Rankin.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every week, Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m. and 12 a.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and Faith, Hope, and Healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega's Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Stroll through the garden, relax by the lake, or try a daily yoga or movement class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Roig DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K-8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Classes' mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number 4, classes.org. Sign up today.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. Now, if you'd like to save some cash on Bernie's books and items, you can go to wisdomoftheages.biz. That's B-I-Z. That is his son and daughter-in-law, Jane and Keith Siegel's Wisdom of the Ages shop in Connecticut. When you're ordering items on the online, you just put code 27 in the comment box, and you'll receive 15% off of Bernie's items. You can get in touch with Bernie, read his articles, right on his website, Bernie Siegel, SIEGELMD.com, BernieSiegelMD.com. And for Lissa, you can get the book, The Daily Flame, 365 Love Letters from Your Inner Pilot Light. I love your how you shared about your mom, Lissa. You can get that book anywhere, and her site is lissarankin.com. Lissa is spelled L-I-S-S-A, Rankin, R-A-N-K-I-N. Back to you, Bernie. Okay.
Can I just add one thing? Because the book's website is actually innerpilotlight.com, and there's a whole bunch of free stuff there as well.
Okay.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, talking about some of the mystical, your mother and my wife died a year ago, January, and the mystical experiences have been unbelievable. And that's one thing I know, that we don't die. You know what I mean? The body dies, but our consciousness, because my wife and I have been communicating since. I won't get into all the details, but a big part of it has been pennies from heaven, you know, just finding pennies and coins. And well, let me just give you one crazy little example. My winter gloves wore out, so I said to my wife in heaven, I need a new pair of gloves. I go shopping, park the car, come back, and by the driver's seat, a pair of gloves lying on the ground. And no cars were different, you know what I mean? It wasn't somebody dropped them when they got in the car to back away. But it is just unbelievable. Well, and the other day, I'll tell you one more. We have a dog and a bunch of cats, and I was walking the dog, and I said, I haven't had a penny from you in a while. You know, could you send me one? The next day, walking on the same path, exactly where I said, I want a penny, was a penny on the ground. And, you know, I keep saying, you can't call those, just lucky things that happen, coincidences. It's just unbelievably amazing, related to my health, related to my life and everything else. So, you know, we have to open to the mystical, whether you call them love letters or prescriptions or anything else. It's open to the nature of life and to the mystical.
Well, it's way more fun when you do, because my experience of interfacing with this aspect that I call your inner pilot light is that it is very mystical, and everything begins to feel kind of alive and radiant and participating, communicating.
Right.
It's very very heart-opening experience to discover.
A lot. I mean,
that somebody's listening.
One humorous one, I have to tell you. After my wife had died, I'm sleeping alone in the bed, and I hear a sound, you know, a human sound. And I sit up and I said, "Honey, are you having a problem? Can I help you?" And then I busted out laughing because, you know, it's like I'm saying to myself, "Hey, stupid, your wife died. Who are you talking to?" But the sound was her sound, you know, like you're adjusting in bed and you go, you know, things like that. And I just couldn't get over how I reacted to sit up and say, "Can I help you?" But those are the things that keep you going, if you know what I mean. And,
and you know,
people say, "That's crazy. Oh, it can't be. They've got a problem." They're not going to have themselves open to that inner light when they have their mind closed to possibilities.
Yeah, when my mother died, the night of her funeral, I was sleeping in a house that my brother had set me up to sleep in Ohio near the church where we were in her funeral, and my mother always was singing. And I had my best friend had come to stay with me at the funeral. And in the middle of the night, all of a sudden I woke up, and my mother also had digestive problems, and she had the most outrageous burps you've ever heard in your entire life. Like, they literally start, like, in her colon, and they work themselves all the way through the small intestines before they finally make it to the stomach and come out the mouth. And so, you know, it's like a good, like, one-minute-long burp. And I was in my bed sleeping, and all of a sudden I woke up, and there was somebody burping in my room, except nobody was there. Right. And my best friend said there was somebody singing in her room, and she started singing me the song that she was hearing, and it was this campfire song that my mom used to sing around the campfire. So it was, we were both a bit shocked, but it was unmistakably my mother.
Right. Yeah, if your mind is open, still, if you want to say, quiet, you know, that you're not involved in all kinds of emotions that overcome everything, then these experiences happen. And I had a lot of patients who would, when they knew, as one patient said to me, "I know you're not a normal doctor anymore, so I can talk to you." And they brought me messages from dead patients. They would tell me their name and what the message was. I mean, some of them were mystics, but they knew I wasn't going to say that's crazy. Yeah, I even called. Well, this was about one patient, and they gave me a message, and I knew who it was by his name. So I called his wife and said, "Do you want a message? I don't want to upset you if it's going to be too emotional." She said, no, go ahead. And I start reciting it, and she lets out a shriek. And I said, "See, I didn't want to upset you." She said, "You're not upsetting me." That's what he said every time he left your support group meeting. It was an exact statement from this mystic that he used to say to his wife every time they'd go out after the meeting. And, you know, those are the things that open your mind. And when we get into that quiet state, you know, whether it's writing your inner light or, you know, whatever I call it, you call it, other poets call it, but when you get into that place, then special things happen at all kinds of levels. And then books get written about what is happening and the communication, whether it's with animals or dead relatives or loved ones or just, you know, healing of the body, dreams, all these things begin to flow and, you know, teaches you more about life.
Well, that's a perfect lead-in. I think I will read you a Daily Flame that's exactly about that. It's number 360. Can I read this?
Yeah, please.
Okay. "My dear mystic, when was the last time you felt the wonder and awe of life? When did you last gasp at the beauty and mystery of it all? When was the last time you looked up at the stars and really took in their majestic vastness? Have you marveled at the crazy magic of how a caterpillar dissolves into bug soup before emerging as a fully formed flight-worthy butterfly? Do you realize that these little creatures don't just sprout wings? They completely surrender to the full disintegration of all that they were in order to become all that they must. Do you realize you are part of that same magical universe? Do you see that you are as much of a miracle as any marvelous creation on Earth? Do you realize that you have a choice to see nothing as a miracle or everything as a miracle. I'm here to help you remember that there is so much more than you can see and understand. There is a mystery to how your life unfolds, but the secrets of the mystery are part of the magic. You don't need to understand or be able to control the mystery in order to trust that the magic is real. Don't give up 5 minutes before your miracle. Abracadabra, your inner pilot light.
You remind me of what I read every night before I go to bed. Two books next to it. One is Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes, a spiritual aspect of life. The other, I don't, you know, you want to talk about mystic. This book, I found it in my house. I have no idea where it came from. The Science of God.
I haven't read either of them.
It's about creation, you know, and physics and millions of years and what we're like. And, you know, it's mystical just to think about how did we create life, you know, in our various parts. How do you make an eye? You know, it's just unbelievable. And but it makes you believe in the mystery of life. So, yes. If you're interested in the spiritual, read Science of Mind. And in the there's a lot of science in the Science of God, you know, about astronomy and physics and all those things. But I just find it fascinating when all these things begin to be put together and written about. Because in many ways, I don't think we'll ever understand how life was created, but it was and is, and I can't help but believe in a God, whatever that definition is for me. I always say loving, intelligent, conscious energy. You know, it's all the things that had to be put together to create that flame. Even a fire, heat, warmth, water is a miracle. One of the
I was just watching. I don't watch TV hardly ever, but we don't have a television, but my husband just started watching this documentary series called One Strange Rock by National Geographic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful. It's just talking about, like, when you look at the organizing intelligence of nature, and it was talking about how we get oxygen, you know? And it's a miracle that these little diatoms in the water end up in the river of the sky above the Amazon basin and end up back in the desert in Africa and cycle around, and the astronauts are watching it from space.
That's what I say, the Science of God.
Just awesome.
Interested. It's a great book to read,
how
life started. And, you know, one of the things that impressed me, you may say, one day, write about water, because Jesus said we're water and spirit. And when I was reading that in the Bible, I thought, why did he say that? You know, Adam wasn't made out of water. But when you look at water, it convinces you of the wisdom of creation, because creation really couldn't begin until water was created. But water defies the laws of physics. That's the part that amazes me. Everything, when it is cooled or frozen, gets heavier and more dense. You know, think of when you walk into a room, the cold air is at the bottom, the warm air is at the top. And if you, well, or if lava cools and gets hard, it's heavier than when it's liquid. But when you freeze water, the ice cubes pop up to the top. And when I was thinking that many years ago, I thought, wow, it's obvious there's an intelligence behind all this, because if everything, you know, froze from the bottom up, how could we survive? There'd be no place for any, you know, for water to exist, and all these creatures would die. So believe me, and God, and whatever your name for God is, but it's real. And there's an intelligence behind all of it, and it's a miracle, in a sense, just to be alive. And I know there are hard days to get through, but, you know, keep aware of the miracles.
Yes.
Yeah, I wrote a whole creation story that ended up getting cut from this book that was about that. You know, it really is, once we were able to actually slow down and stop taking everything for granted. And I think that's one of the blessings that people discover if they get sick, is they suddenly stop taking for granted the miracle of tucking your child into bed or watching. Right now I live in Marin County on the ocean, and there's wildflowers all over the hillsides. It's just covered in wildflowers right now. It's like a miracle just to look outside. And to slow down and actually accept those everyday miracles as something that can touch your heart, that can move you.
Yeah.
And then, again, it doesn't mean that we don't feel the pain of life. We do. We actually feel that more as well. But you develop a kind of resilience where you're able to move more fluidly from one extreme emotion to the next, and then to sit in the mundane as well and still even appreciate that.
Yeah, I think when I look at a flower, it's like, who designed it? It's just so beautiful, and it keeps you in awe and helps you get through the day. Yeah, there's one lady I knew also that she had cancer, was dying. She had a plant in the house that was dying, so she threw the plant in the garbage can. And a few weeks later, her husband let her know that he had opened the garbage can because she was in the hospital, and the plant was blooming in the garbage can. So he brought it to her at the hospital, and it saved her life, you know. Here's this plant she throws out in the garbage can, but it doesn't quit. That's the thing I've learned. I've watched plants grow through pavement and bring the family there to look, to see how they knew which way was up, how it kept pushing till it broke through the pavement. It's just nature. It's just the greatest teacher there is. So I always say to people, you need a solution, you need a therapist, go for a walk in nature.
Amen.
Yes, and that's time to close the show. Any parting thoughts?
Yeah, I miss you, Lisa.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm going to be reading your book every day.
Thank you, Bernie.
To match them. Yeah, God bless
Thank you.
Thank you.
Until the next time, everyone, go on Bernie's site, and that's BernieSiegelMD.com.
Join us next time on Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Until then, remember, be fully engaged in life, loving every moment as your unique self. In going deep within to discover ourselves, we can also discover self-love. Then, when we let our hearts make up our minds, we connect what our bodies do so well to the power of love. We can boost our ability to grow and heal along with our self-esteem. The sense of empowerment that results from this mind-body connection is one related to self-induced healing. When you add spirit to that connection, making a mind-body-spirit connection, you nourish your soul. For more insight, go to BernieSiegelMD.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.